It is a joy to be with you and to share God's blessing with you today to start off this month of November, where I know it'll culminate in our National Day of Thanksgiving, but it seems right for God's people to be all giving thanks at all times. In fact, doing a quick search of the Bible, the word thanks or thank or thanksgiving appears over 133 times. But then when you start adding grateful and praise, as in praising God for all he has done, all he is, it really almost gets beyond what we can count. And I think the first point I would want to make for us is the suggestion of just how important gratitude is for our lives. So important. If any of you have been parents, you know that when your children were old enough to begin speaking, one of the very first things you did as they were getting that Christmas gift or that birthday present, we'd whisper to them, or maybe sometimes not so gently whisper, "Now what do you say?" Right? Gratitude is so important. And it is when perhaps we lose gratitude that we start to really realize how important it is. You know, just a moment to think about veterans. Here in recent years, we've experienced the tragedy of attacks on our own homeland. But there has never, outside of the attack in Pearl Harbor, been a true battle that has happened in our country. And that's thanks to those who have served us as veterans. We can never forget what they've given. When we forget, whether it's our veterans or it is the goodness of God the Father, when we forget to be grateful, well, there's something that happens. We saw it happen in the gospel lesson. The younger son seems to be ungrateful for what God has, so he doesn't want to stick around in his father's house anymore. He doesn't want his father's so-called blessings anymore. He just wants whatever little bit is coming to him and then go off and be himself, do life himself, and not have anyone call the shots. And when we get ungrateful, when we forget all that God has given us, all that he does for us, all that he's promised to us, all that is still even yet to come, we really have great risk, much like the prodigal son, who only in the last moment kind of comes to his senses as he's starving. We too run into great risk. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul was trying to describe what it was like when people forgot God, like the son forgets the blessing of the Heavenly Father. In Romans 1, verse 21, he writes, and I think we have this on the screen for you, "For although he knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him." Didn't glorify him as God, as the giver of every good and perfect gift, and didn't give thanks to the Father. And so what happens? Their thinking became futile. Their thoughts, their hearts became darkened. When we forget to be grateful, that happens to us too. We start to take every little slight, every small mistake, every minor inconvenience as some huge thing that the world or our so-called loved ones have against us. Instead of with a grateful heart going, "Yeah, she's having a tough day. Wow, he must really be struggling." The gratitude that's there. Even our own kids can sometimes cause us pain, so we forget to be grateful for them. I was in the hospital not long ago, called in for a situation that I hope I never have to experience ever again. A family there in the hospital for what should have been the most joyful day of all, the day as the mother was giving birth to her child. And this young mom in her mid-20s suddenly experienced some kind of cardiac event, and in the midst of giving birth, died. What should have been the joyful, "Oh, how sweet," as the baby made its first cries, was instead met by silence of a family that could not stop crying. For yes, the joy of a child, but the loss of a mother. How many of them said they hadn't even had a chance to tell her that they love her before she died so suddenly? And when you and I forget to be grateful, we miss out. We run great risks of our hearts also. becoming darkened. That's the case of this lost son in today's gospel reading, and we'll hear more about him in a moment, but why don't we focus a bit now on what gratitude really is and what it really does? I love this quote from Max Lucado, a great Christian writer. If you're not familiar with this stuff, you should basically buy any book he has, and you can't go wrong. Here's his quote. If you think of someone with like a metal detector out on the beach searching for some coins or treasure, imagine that, a giant magnet kind of sweeping along. And that's what he says a grateful heart is. A grateful heart is like that magnet. It seeks, it sweeps out over the day and notices thing after thing to be grateful for. The billion stars that shine in the sky, the moon that lights our way, the friend who puts a hand on our shoulder, the tenderness of a loved one wiping away our tears. So much to be grateful for. And if we make it specifically about the Father, can we put it this way? Can we be grateful for what the Heavenly Father has made? Made the stars, yes. But think about the miracle of muscles that enabled you to walk into this room, and of those eye muscles that can move across and read what's on the screens or in your bulletin. Think of the miracle of hearing, to hear these words and to remember again that God has fearfully and wonderfully made us. Think of the amazingness of your lungs and mine exhaling and inhaling some 11,000 liters of air every single day. And think of the average 3 billion heartbeats our heart will beat day and night, awake and asleep, strong or weak, all because the Heavenly Father made it and placed that heart and that brain and those eyes all together. And so much more he has made. So much more we can be thankful for. I mean, my goodness, for the jam that was on your muffin this morning, to the milk in your cereal, to the blanket that calms us or the joke that delights us, for the 1,000 planes that didn't crash today. As tragic as it was to lose lives in the crush of that concert last Friday evening, the thankfulness that emergency workers were able to save as many lives as they did. For the men who did not cheat on their wives and the wives who did not turn from their husbands. For the children, in spite of a world of pressure, did not, when they had the chance, dishonor their parents. So much that we can thank God the Heavenly Father for. Isaiah tries to put it this way when he says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, "You, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. And you are the potter. We are so grateful that you have made us. We are so grateful for the people in our lives. So grateful even for this family of faith we know as Gethsemane. We are all the work of your hand." As grateful as we can be for all that the Heavenly Father makes, can we not also be grateful for what it is that he gives? Now, we don't want to slip into the idea where we are grateful only for the gifts and we forget the giver, but we can start with the gifts and remember them. Start that God, who is the maker of all, gives to us. That God, as Romans goes on to say at another point, who loved us and sent his Son for us, who, along with him, will graciously give us everything we need for this life. Words to encourage us, friends to lift up our hearts when we are grieving, promises that this world, even with its pain, is not the end. So much we can give, but the son in Jesus' story does not see the love and the kindness in the Father's heart. He doesn't see that the Father has been giving and giving to him. Even the older son at the end, the one who is so hard-hearted and angry at his father, once the prodigal son returned, has that attitude, "Look, this son of yours came back, but you've never given anything to me." And the father has to remind him, "Hey, he already got his inheritance. Everything you see that's left is yours. I give and I give and I give to you," says that father to his son. And he whispers through that story, the Heavenly Father does to us, "I give. And I give, and I give to you, adopting you as my children, giving my own son for you to make it so on the cross." God still gives. And he waits. Like that father waiting for the prodigal son, he waits for the daughters and sons who have wandered away, who have chased after the things of this world. He waits for us to come to our senses and to come back to him. He waits to love and to give. Can we also be grateful that our Heavenly Father is holy? For it is wonderful to have a compassionate Father. Those of you that have enjoyed a father who loved you and blessed your family, blessed you personally, you can look at that and be so grateful. But do we not also need a holy Heavenly Father? For it's one thing to have a father bless us on this earth, but who can enable us? Who can open the door for us to live forever in that home that Jesus is making for us if it's not the Father sending Jesus to die for us? God in his holiness kept heaven perfect and waiting for us. God in his holiness, even who gave the gifts, had the high standards, not so that he could somehow shut us out, but so that he could show us that these high standards, which can be met only by my son, are what is waiting, that perfect place without death or sickness or sorrow or crushing crowds or weakness or sin in any way. That holy heavenly Father, who has only goodness waiting for us, who's willing and loving enough to let us go away, but loves us too much to leave us away, sent Jesus to look for us, to find us, to die for us. Holy, yes, but also loving. John, when he writes in his letter, we love because God first loved us, because God is love. God's very essence is to love, to give, to forgive, to welcome back, to restore. Holiness is wonderful, but if he didn't, then also offer us the solution that in love he sent Jesus, the way to heaven would stay closed. He gives us so much, gives us that loving Heavenly Father, sacrificing his perfect Son to make us blessed, restored daughters and sons of the Heavenly Father. So we can celebrate. Each and every time we become aware of our sin, we turn our hearts back by prayer, we can hear the Heavenly Father having the angels rejoice over even us, putting that ring back on our finger, reassuring us we are part of his family, the sandals on our feet to cover over the mud and the muck that we've been walking through, the robe of righteousness earned for us by Jesus. Grateful for a holy Heavenly Father who is loving and forgiving and blessing us constantly. That's why I love that verse that we heard in the epistle reading Mike read for us. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing in Christ. The blessing to call you by name, the blessing to give you a new name, the blessing to forgive you all of your sins in the name of his Son Jesus. So, I pray, as we are so grateful for the Heavenly Father blessing us with all of those blessings, with a future forever with him and all of our loved ones, I pray we will bless him. Bless him at our meals, sure. Bless him as we go to sleep, certainly. Bless him when we get up. Bless him when the parking spot isn't as close to the store as we would like, but we can park in that far enough way one and our legs still work to get us in the door. And so many other things besides. You know, perhaps in this time when we are still enduring a pandemic, perhaps in this time when there are still wars and rumors of wars, perhaps in this time of great sadness in our city for the recent tragic loss of life, perhaps now we can remember that we can even give thanks in the midst of whatever storms we're going through. Now, it's one thing when the storm is over, when the hurricane winds are gone, and the sun comes out and shines, for us to say, thank you, God, you kept us safe. But tucked in the middle of a story in Acts 27, the Apostle Paul gets a vision from an angel that the terrible hurricane storm he is in will end soon. That every life that is on board that ship, even the soldiers about to bring Paul to prison, every one of those lives will be spared. And so Paul gathers them and says, My God has said you're all going to be spared. You need to get your strength. Let's eat something even before this storm ends. Wait, before we even eat, let's pray in thanks to God even in the midst of the storm. Let's not just wait to the end. But even when our hearts are hurting, let us praise Him for being the God that has been there for us in past storms and brought us through. Let us, even in the midst of the storm of sin, praise Him who hears us and loves us enough to nudge our hearts and bring us back to our senses so He can bring us back to Himself. Let's, even when we don't know how the story ends, know that the one who writes our stories will not let us go. Let's praise Him, even in the midst of any storms we ever face. May God be glorified as we do that, as we give everything, give thanks in everything, even the storms, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.